Despite the cold tomorrow, Matt Douglas, it's still going to be pretty busy down around First Energy Stadium in downtown Cleveland. They're having that imperfect 0-16 parade for the Cleveland Browns. You going?
I will not be there.
Well, you know who will be there?
I do.
Scott Petrek with the Chronicle Telegram and, of course, BrownsZone.com. And Scott is kind enough to join us right now. Scott, thank you as always for your time. Thank you for joining us. And boy, you were telling us off air, you're actually headed down to cover this parade tomorrow. And boy, we know how cold it's going to be. But I've got to ask you first and foremost, are you surprised at just how big this thing has become? I mean, I think you go back to last year when the parade almost happened, and I kind of thought at the time, boy, that's an interesting idea, but I don't know if it's good or if it's bad, but this thing has really blown up.
Yeah, it really has. And I guess that's just the way it works in today's world. You know, if you have a big enough social media presence and you get people talking and you hit a nerve, things can kind of explode. And that's what this has done. You know, I didn't give it too much thought last year. I think I wrote maybe a column about it. And then I kept trying to ignore it this year until it became reality, you know. And now, you know, people are going to go and people are talking about it. And if it's on ESPN and CNN, I figure I cover the team. I should be there too.
I want to ask you a question about covering this thing because, you know, you've been covering these guys for so long. There are certain games you probably remember thinking, I was really looking forward to going and covering that game. Or, you know, maybe there was a press conference you can think of where it was like, wow, I was really looking forward to going and covering that. And then I'm sure on the opposite side of that spectrum, there were games you dreaded going and covering. There were press conferences you dreaded having to go and cover. Where does this lie on that list? Because I can't imagine how miserable it's going to be down there thinking about all the good things that do come with this, with the charities that do benefit, but at the same time, you're covering a parade celebrating an 0-16 season, and it's going to be in the single digits.
Yeah, that's a good question. you know, it's not at the top of the list of things that I'm going to wake up going, man, I can't wait to go. But, you know, I think it'll be fine. You know, the weather's going to make it uncomfortable for sure. I'm hoping that keeps maybe some of the lunatics away, and it just is simple. You know, there's a quick trip around the parade to talk to a couple fans, you get a feel for what's going on, and then get out of there. You know, and I'm not much for spectacle for the sake of spectacle, and there's a little bit of that feel to this. I understand why people, you know, why Chris McNeil organized it, and I understand why people are going to attend and participate. But you know, my preference is to cover games and cover players, and you know, I'd rather be watching film of Darnold and Rosen than freezing and, you know, watching a parade, because I don't like parades anyway. It could be, you know, 72 degrees in San Diego. I don't like parades. But there's worse things I could be doing on a Saturday.
Now, you mentioned you understand the reasoning for it, Scott. What is it? Is it more just to kind of point out the fact that, hey, ownership, let's try and get this right at some point?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Chris McNeil, and you know, he wanted to be clear that the intent is to try to embarrass the Haslams and maybe force them into some changes. You know, I think he was being too optimistic when he said, you know, maybe this could be on a list of things that eventually gets him to sell the team. I don't, you know, that seems a little far-fetched to me, but, you know, maybe it does create more dialogue between the team and the fans. Maybe it does, you know, force Jimmy to say to John Dorsey, hey, let's spend some of this cap money, or what have you. You know, maybe beer's cheaper at the stadium. Something, some tangible impact from frustrated and angry and disgruntled fans. You know, and if that's the case, then good for them for, you know, trying to make use of their voice. Because, you know, and I can't speak to this. You know, I go to the games for free, and I sit in the warm press box. But, you know, if I were a season ticket holder and I spent money year after year after year for a team that's not close to contention, I would want my anger, whatever it is, frustration, whatever word you want to look for, I would want that to be heard by the people that are making the decisions. And I believe that's the end goal. I don't think they want to embarrass the city. I don't think they want to embarrass the fans. I don't think that's it. I think it was an idea to shame the Haslams, and it kind of came to fruition because they were bad enough to go 0-16.
We're talking with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I'm all for affecting beer prices. If this helps to bring beer prices down there, I'm all for that.
That's a good point.
I mean, just saying. But, you know, you had alluded to it earlier, Scott. You know, there are a lot of things you'd like to cover, a lot of things you'd like to see them do, whether it be spending a little bit more, spending some of that cap money they've got, and addressing a lot of their needs in the draft, which I'm sure we'll talk a lot about here over the course of the next 3 or 4 months. And there are so many problems that need to be fixed. Is there one in particular, though, that really comes to the forefront that you think needs to be addressed first and foremost?
Just organizationally?
Yes.
Well, I would say they took the first step, and you know, my focus is largely on football. I would say they took the first step by getting rid of Sashi Brown. Not that Sashi was, you know, evil or had bad intentions, but I just think he butchered the last two drafts and it set the team back significantly. But luckily, he put him in a position where they at least have the assets to try to climb out of the hole that I think he put him in, or kept them in. You know, he didn't inherit a great situation. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a first step. And then, you know, it's always going to come down to wins. Now, you can handle game day stuff better, you know, and I think if I sat in the stands, you know, maybe I'd be sick of hearing the same songs over and over again, or, you know, the dog on the field doesn't do much for me, but it does for some people. So, I don't even feel like I'm qualified to talk about that. But I think if you win enough games with this fan base, and I think I know this fan base, that's where you get all your goodwill, you know. And even if you take a step in that direction, I think fans would re-embrace the team, because as bad as they've been, and we've talked about this, as bad as they've been, people still care. This is all my buddies want to talk about, is the Browns, no matter how bad they are, you know, at 0-15 or 0-16, that's what we're talking about. So if you just showed them, if you got your franchise quarterback instead of winning a couple games, I think people would look at this organization differently.
Scott, you've been covering the team for a while. Do you think there's a disconnect between, as we talk about this parade and trying to embarrass the Haslams, do you think there's a disconnect between the Haslams and this city and this team? I mean, this was a once proud franchise in the 50s and 60s. And, I mean, he can see there's not as many people in the seats showing up on Sundays.
Sure. I think it's fair to say that. And part of it's the losing, right, which he inherited, sure, but has done nothing to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's the constant turnover, which, again, you know, he's just exacerbated. Part of it's the fact that he's from Tennessee, so I think people in Cleveland are skeptical of, you know, outsiders that didn't grow up rooting for the Browns and don't understand the city's struggles and complexes and history. And then, you know, the Pilot Flying J scandal didn't help Jimmy Haslam, and it shouldn't help Jimmy Haslam. You know, whether or not he knew, and he continues to say he didn't know anything about the fraud scheme, his company did it, and he's at the top of that company. And I have no issue with fans looking at him sideways and wondering if they have, you know, a guy that can't be trusted running their prized team, you know, their beloved team. So he's going to have to go a long way to make up to fans. And the fact is, I don't think people are going to trust him, but they might put up with him if he can win some games.
Sure.
Scott, we'll transition from the Browns into the playoff games going on tomorrow and into Sunday. As you take a look at these matchups over the next couple of days here, Tennessee and Kansas City will lead things off at 4:20 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, the LA Rams and the Atlanta Falcons. And then on Sunday, you've got Buffalo and Jacksonville, New Orleans and Carolina. Of these four matchups and the eight teams that are involved this weekend, which of these games tomorrow and into Sunday is the most intriguing to you?
Well, I like all of them. You know, I think sometimes you get some duds on the first weekend, and not to say that the games won't be duds, but I'm looking forward to all of them. The Atlanta-LA game really intrigues me. I've not been able to watch a lot of Jared Goff this year, just because I'm busy on Sundays. But I'm looking forward to that. I liked him coming out. I know what a story that team has been. I think that's the most likely road team to win is Atlanta going into L.A. because they have the experience, because Matt Ryan's been to the Super Bowl. I think they have a little bit of chip on their shoulder from obviously blowing that Super Bowl lead last year. And then people wrote them off during this season, and they've managed to get back in the playoffs. So I like that game, and I like the other NFC matchup. The Carolina at New Orleans, you know, they played twice already this year. I think they're both 11-5. You know, New Orleans is getting a ton of production from their rookie class. And I think maybe I'll write about this one of these days, is that's what the Browns have to hope for, is that they have a rookie class like that that can really push them forward. And despite having 24 picks in the last 2 years, we haven't seen that. But they're getting contributions from Kamara and Lattimore. And I looked at the other day, there were like four rookies high on some list I was looking at of contributing right away. And that's how you turn around a team, and you turn around a defense like the Saints have done this year. So those two games intrigue me. You know, and I'm not sure any of these teams – let me say this. I don't think any of the four teams in the AFC can get to the Super Bowl. I think any of the four teams in the NFC might be able to get to the Super Bowl just because of the instability in Philly without Carson Wentz.
Oh, and you're right. To your point about the Browns, not only, you know, would that help them win, but geez, oh man, that would at least give the fan base something to look forward to in the offseason, because right now they just don't have much. You kind of answered this, but I want to give you a chance to really hammer it down here again. You mentioned Atlanta as a team that has a chip on their shoulder, wanting to try and do the best they can to erase what happened last year. But of the four games and the eight teams that are involved in this weekend's action, is there one team that really stands out that you think could go all the way?
You know what? I would probably say Atlanta, because of the things you mentioned and because of their history and pedigree. I know starting on the road is difficult. I don't think they could possibly play a home game in the playoffs, so that would be tough. You know, and then that other NFC game, New Orleans, might be too young, but I love their quarterback. You know, the coach has been there. The quarterback has been there. So those would be the two teams. I don't think Carolina, I'm not sure they have enough offensive firepower to compete. And then when you look at the AFC, Kansas City is the only one of the four that I think can make any kind of a run. But they haven't been able to do it. You know, you still question Alex Smith. As much as I like Alex Smith and as much as I like Andy Reid, have never done it to the degree they need to in the playoffs. I know Andy Reid went to one Super Bowl with Philly. But they're a talented team. I just don't like their matchups next week. Whether it's – I think they would go to Pittsburgh if they won. Pittsburgh is my Super Bowl favorite right now, so I can't I can't picture Kansas City going in there and winning.
Well, that was my next question to you. I mean, boy, Kansas City – has just been so up and down this year. At the beginning of the season, they looked like world beaters. I mean, they took out the Patriots, for crying out loud, in the first week of the season, and then they really kind of came apart at the seams, but they end the regular season on a four-game winning streak, albeit they didn't play many good teams, if any, mixed in there. But, I mean, still, they ran off four straight wins at the end of the season. And I guess it's interesting when you look at the AFC, because it certainly seems as though it's going to be the Patriots or the Steelers, and nobody else really has much of a chance, but the NFC seems a lot more wide open.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because for all season we looked at the NFC and how stacked it was. And not that it's not, because it is. I mean, you had to win 10 games to get in the playoffs. But with the Carson Wentz injury and Case Keenum playing quarterback for the Vikings, you know, those are, you know, one and two seeds, it just feels like that's wide open to me. And if you put Kansas City in the NFC, I could see them making a run, while the AFC, to me, is top-heavy. They have two good teams, two and a half good teams, and then there's a big drop-off. So I think the NFC is going to, you know, beat themselves up, and the AFC is going to come down to Pittsburgh, New England. But I do like Kansas City, and I like the fact that they recovered at the end of the year. I like a lot of their weapons. I think Alex Smith is underrated. So, you know, I just don't like their matchup next week. Like I said, if they were in the NFC, I think you could keep an eye on them. I think they're going to roll Tennessee and then put up a fight in Pittsburgh. But I just think Pittsburgh's too good this year. And, you know, and I think that's going to be the end of the line for Kansas City.
How realistic do you think it is that the Minnesota Vikings could possibly be the first team to host a Super Bowl?
Well, I think the Carson Wentz injury opens it up for him. I think that's really realistic. I do. You know, they got questions. They don't have a ton of firepower on offense. Feels like they've been doing it with a little bit of smoke and mirrors, a big-time defense, controlling the ball offensively. Case Keenum's not turning it over. You know, it's like any of these playoffs. You get to the playoffs, you know what Tom Brady's going to give you. You know what Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson are going to give you. Well, we don't know what Case Keenum's going to give you. You don't know what Jared Goff is going to give you, or Blake Bortles, or Marcus Mariota. So you have to go in with a sense of, you know, a little bit of trepidation, go, man, I just don't know. and you got to be uneasy. But if he keeps playing error-free ball like he has for pretty much all season long, then you have to like them. Yeah. Because, you know, Philly's got a bigger question mark with Nick Foles.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun to watch this weekend. Some interesting matchups, and it's only going to get better as we get into next week. Scott, we always appreciate the time. Boy, bundle up. Get plenty of layers ready for tomorrow, my man. You're going to be freezing down there, but we always appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Scott Petrak with the Chronicle-Telegram. Don't forget to check out Scott's work at brownszone.com. Scott mentioned he'll be down there at the parade tomorrow, so you can read all of Scott's work in the Chronicle-Telegram, but you can also see it at brownszone.com. If you're a fan of the Browns in any way, shape, or form, there's no reason for you not to go to brownszone.com. He's got everything on there. He's got his podcasts on there. His Twitter feed is on there. And everything that he has written shows up on brownszone.com. So make sure you check that out.